The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist and others, Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and he will be killed and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
I have 3 questions for you this morning. They are big questions, questions you may even have asked of yourselves. I know I have. Okay, here you go. What gives you the greatest joy in life? What gives you your deepest sense of purpose? When do you feel most authentically the person God created you to be? Hold on to those things. We'll come back to them. Jesus started his conversation this morning with questions too. The first one was easy. Who do other people say that I am? That question only required reporting on what other people were saying. The second question, not so easy. Who do you say that I am? Who do you say Jesus is? If we call ourselves Christians, and Christians are followers of Jesus of Nazareth, then it seems pretty important to be clear on who it is we are following, who we are trying to emulate, whose disciples we are. Peter, for once, came up with the answer Jesus was looking for from him. "You are the Messiah." But while Peter was right about Jesus' identity, he didn't seem to have any idea what that identity meant. So Jesus began to teach them what it meant to be the Messiah. It meant suffering and death. And I'm pretty sure that wasn't what Peter thought he had signed up for. I imagine Peter was thinking the Messiah, the anointed one, would be strong enough to overcome any evil or sickness or poverty or fear or heartache he or anyone else would encounter. I think that's the kind of Messiah a lot of us would like. A God who would vanquish all sorrow and suffering. A God who would make the world peaceful. A God who would wipe out COVID. A God who would lovingly turn the minds and hearts of anyone who doesn't think the way we do or act the way we think they should act. But that's not the Messiah we got. The Messiah we got was profoundly vulnerable and in the end surrendered everything, even his life. Up until this point in Mark's gospel, nobody really knew the fullness of who Jesus was. He was always telling people to be quiet about the miracles, the signs and wonders he made. Some said he was a prophet, some said John the Baptist come back to life, and some even thought he was Elijah. So when Peter spoke those words, "You are the Messiah," everything changed. And when Jesus told them what it meant to be the Messiah, things changed for Jesus too. This was his turning point. The moment he ceased teaching and preaching and healing in Galilee, the moment he turned his face toward Jerusalem and began to tell them of his future and of their own. But Peter couldn't bear it. Of course he loved Jesus, and he couldn't stand the thought of Jesus dying without a fight. But it was more than that. Suffering and dying was not what he thought the Messiah was made for. The Messiah was made for greatness, for victory, for bringing God's kingdom to bear. So Peter rebuked Jesus, told him how wrong he was to say such things. And Jesus did some pretty serious rebuking of his own. "Get behind me, Satan." Strong words for the vulnerable, loving Jesus. But the words that translate as "get behind me" are precisely the words Jesus used when he first called Peter. "Get behind me" means follow me. Don't get caught up in worldly things. Remember what we're doing and follow me. Jesus had been talking only with the 12 up to this point, but he must have realized this teaching was something everybody needed to hear. So he called all the crowds to him and began teaching them about what it is to live the Christian life, what it is to be a disciple. They likely hoped for lots of good feelings and sharing the love and doing good works, but that wasn't what Jesus was teaching that day. As it turns out, once he'd been recognized as the Messiah, the first words out of his mouth were predictions of terrible suffering and giving up his life. Those very hard words could not have been what they expected to hear, and I don't imagine they were easy to hear. Those words aren't easy for us to hear either, but they are the words Jesus spoke. And if Jesus was heading toward suffering and death, did that mean that Peter, his follower, had to head for suffering and death too? After all, being a follower, a disciple, means we aspire to do what the one we follow does. I think that's why Jesus talked about denying ourselves, taking up crosses, losing our lives to save them. We've heard those words many times, but I wonder, do we know what they mean? When Jesus said those words, I don't think he was talking about giving up dessert or not going to parties or being only serious and grim and doing nothing that wasn't religious. I don't think the denial he spoke of was giving up laughter or pleasure or joy and delight. I think what he was saying is that our lives are real, that we all do suffer, that life can be very hard, and that putting our trust or faith or value in what we achieve, what we have, or in our importance compared to the people around us will never give us joy or peace. Those things we think make us happy, lots of money or prestige or square footage or stuff, those things don't make us happy. And they certainly don't offer the abundant life God wants for us. Life is not something we have or control or gain or even make. The whole self-made human ideal is utterly antithetical to what Jesus says matters. I don't necessarily think Jesus is saying it's wrong to be successful or to make lots of money, but I do think he's saying that these are not the things we should focus on. These are not the things we should give our lives to. I think he is saying that abundant, joyful life comes from taking up our crosses, denying ourselves, losing our lives for his sake and for the sake of the good news, even if it's hard news. It's that paradoxical way Jesus always is. To have abundant life, he says, you have to give your life away. If you are my disciples, look at what I am about to do and do what I do. I am about to give my life away for the life of the world. And if that's what I do as my disciples, that is what you are supposed to do. We know about this. We know about love this big. I remember watching my son with his newborn baby boy in his arms and tears in his eyes. I said to him, now you know how I love you. There are people and maybe even ideals we would give our lives away for. It's because of the love God has kindled in each one of us. You see, taking up our crosses, denying ourselves, losing our lives isn't something negative. It's what we must do in order to live the abundant life God wants for us. Yes, there is heartache. Yes, there is suffering. Yes, there is profound difficulty. God knows that. God has experienced that. This very human, very divine Jesus lived and died that. But what the cross really points to is giving our lives away for the sake of love. It's about understanding that in caring for others, we have the real riches of life, and that in giving of ourselves, we gain the kingdom. Giving our lives away for the sake of love is what Jesus is always talking about. Today is no different. So let's go back to those three questions. What gives you the greatest joy in life? What gives you your deepest sense of purpose? When do you feel most authentically the person God created you to be? I'm guessing your answers didn't have much to do with your things or your importance or your bank accounts, with what you've mastered or amassed or attained. If your answers were anything like mine, they have to do with relationships, with loving and serving, with giving your life away for the sake of love. This is the way to the abundant life God wants for us. And as it turned out, you already knew that. Sometimes we forget to ask the important questions. It is, I hope, one of the reasons we gather here together each Sunday, to make a little space in the course of very busy lives to ponder the questions we would do well to spend our lives on. When Jesus asked his friends, "Who do you say that I am?" I don't think he was asking because he needed to know what people thought of him. I don't think he was asking for his own benefit at all. I think he asked that question of his disciples then, just as he asks us now, for our benefit. Because knowing who Jesus is changes our lives. When we know who Jesus is for us, we're set free from having to be what the world esteems and made free to live into the fullest sort of life imaginable. So, who do you say Jesus is? I hope you'll take some time, maybe even a lot of time, to think about that and to try to articulate it for yourself. Because when you do, something wonderful will happen for you. Not only will you come closer to Jesus, you will come closer to the truth of your own life and being, and to the power of your life in the world. Jesus walked the earth with feet like ours. He healed people with hands just like ours. And he loved the whole world with a heart just like ours. To know Jesus is to know that we are those feet and hands and hearts in the world now, and that the only thing to spend our lives on is love. Amen.